you imagine the world without music, you know, or without TV? You know, I live in a world without TV, and they can't, of course. And it's easy to live without TV than it is without music. They come and tell us. But before I start talking about music, I wanted to tell you the importance of music. It's very, very down to our cellular level. Hearing is the first sense that we develop. As a matter of fact, it's the only sense we have prior to being born. When all of us are inside our mothers, we cannot see. Actually, we can't see until we are about 3 months old and we can focus our eyes. We cannot taste anything because we don't eat. We don't have taste buds. They say babies don't have taste buds until they're about a year old. That's why they can eat all that delicious formula and all that wonderful baby food that we couldn't eat. But they love it. They don't have the taste buds. We cannot smell, of course, because we are inside a bubble of water and we don't utilize our lungs, so we have no sense of smell. And even though we can touch when we are inside our mothers, touch is a very funny feeling. You have to have contrast to know what's cold. You have to know what's hot. You have to know what's smooth before you know what's not rough, not smooth. You have to know what's rough. Oh, thank you.
Closer to the mic?
It doesn't pick up too much when you're...
Okay, I'll talk closer to it. Oh, that will be fine. But anyway, recapitulating all our five senses, you know, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and seeing, hearing is the most developed one. Unless we are hearing impaired, every child in the world, in every continent in the world, is born hearing. And the first thing we hear is our mother talk, of course, and that's why babies are very familiar. If they start fussing and they just hear the mother cooing and that tone of voice, what's the matter, baby? Just that tone of voice, they can just immediately stop. I don't know if you have been able to observe that, because they recognize. But the first sound that every human being hears is our mother's heartbeat. The first sound is the most constant sound, is the beat of our mother's heart. And that's why we have music. Because that beat, that constant music, that need that we have, that primal need that all of us have to feel secure, to feel loved, to feel wanted, to feel warm again inside the womb, that's what that beat gives us, that sense of security. And that's why the drum is the most basic of all the instruments. Every culture in the world had drums. And here in the American continent, the Native American people had drums and had flutes and shakers. There are theories saying some of them had string instruments and theories that says no, they didn't have string instruments, but flute and drums, all of them had. So I'd like to invite my husband Zarko to play a very primitive type of flute. It's a bamboo flute. It's perhaps 2,000 years old, the type of instrument. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Oh, this is called the kena, and the kena is a bamboo flute. It has no mouthpiece, so it's a truly flute. It's not a whistle like a recorder that you blow into. It's very easy to get a note out of, a sound out of. It just has a notch cut out the top of the bamboo, and it plays all the notes. And the kena, like many indigenous instruments, was fundamental to religious ceremony and worship. And the kena, when you hear the sound of it, and we played it the other day for Vespers, and David used this and said it sounded like heavenly, celestial. And that's one of the first qualities you recognize in the kena. As a matter of fact, it's so fundamental, so important to the music of the Andes that, for example, when the coup took place in Chile in the 70s and Allende was thrown out, instruments such as the quena and the charango we'll be introducing you soon, all of the indigenous instruments were banned. They were forbidden. And during the conquest of Bolivia and Peru, the instrumentation of the native peoples was banned for hundreds of years in some places. People were not allowed to play the quena, the charango, the bombo, their native instruments, just like they were forbidden to play, to speak their native languages and to worship in the native places. All of these things were forbidden, and it was hoped by the Spanish conquerors that by forbidding the people to play their music, that would kill their spirit, and they could easily adopt another spirit. Well, thank God that didn't happen. People continue to play their instruments, and there is a resurgence today throughout Latin America, where especially in the Andes, where the music is being reborn again. What did you want?
Let's do Urpi. And this Urpi song is a song that comes from Bolivia. It's a very happy song. It's a song of celebration, and it's just flute and percussion. So we can have Quetzal play drums, and I'm going to ask every one of you to clap with me and keep the rhythm, okay?
We're improvising here as far as percussion. Of course, you can imagine how difficult it would be to bring our drums on the bowl and the band, the three kids.
Thank you. So this is a rhythm from South America. This is just a little example of the kind of music that existed in the Americas before the coming of the Europeans. When the Europeans came to this continent, they brought with them perhaps the most amazing instrument for the Native American people, which was the guitar. And the guitar was able to influence the music, tremendously influence the music of Latin America. To give you a little history on the guitar is an instrument that was invented in Africa, and it's about 1,000 years ago, and in its primary form only had 3 strings. The Moorish people took it to Spain around 1100, and the Spaniards perfected to today's form. It's a 6-string instrument and has this shape, which is the shape of the guitar. It's very, very peculiar. When the guitar was brought to the Americas, it gave birth to many other instruments. They fell in love with the sound of the string instrument. They had never seen it. Most tribes had not seen string instruments. They did not know. Long time ago, 500 years ago, the strings were made of gut from the cats or other animals. So it was not easy to make a guitar, and you needed all the wood. So guitar gave birth to other instruments. There were 4 strings. Also, the guitar wasn't the only one that came. We also had the lute, the guitar, the mandolin, and the violin, of course. So to start, for instance, in Mexico, when they brought the guitar and the violin, entire villages of people fell in love with those kind of instruments, and they immediately set about making the instruments. There are documentation that in the mid-1500s, which was only 20 or 30 years after the conquest, there would be entire orchestras of violins in Mexico. The churches were being asked to only limit themselves to 1 or 2 orchestras because everybody wanted to be a musician in churches in Mexico. And there's documentation, Bartolomé de las Casas, which was a missionary in this continent, has written accounts about the fact that there were more musicians in Mexico than all of the old world, all of his new of Europe. There was more musicians in Mexico. Being a musician in Mexico carried a lot of honor with it. It was an honorable profession to be able to play music for worship and celebration and to be of service to the community. It did not involve pay. They just worked for the pleasure of working with violin, with music. So there was a lot of, they already found these people who were ready to just perform in Mexico. So they brought the violin, and the violin influenced the music of Mexico greatly. The most famous type of music from Mexico is mariachi music. I don't know if you're familiar with mariachi music, which is very brilliant, very loud. And that was created around the 1800s when the French had invaded Mexico. And the word mariachi comes from the French word mariage, which means wedding. And that was the kind of music that was performed during wedding celebrations. So a typical mariachi has an arp, a bass guitar, a biguela, which is a 5-string guitar, which was created after the guitar, 2 or 3 violins and 2 or 3 trumpets. And they play very, very danceable type of music. So I'm going to ask my son Quetzal to get his violin and who demonstrate a mariachi type song. This is called Los Novios, the Newlyweds, and comes from the state of Guadalajara, Mexico. The violin has become very important in the music of many native people in Mexico, primarily the Tarahumara and the Huichol people of Mexico, who have been able to to maintain themselves isolated in the high sierras, the high mountains of Guadalajara, and also the state of Sinaloa and Sonora. So the violin is part of their music. We're going to do a song now, a traditional song from the state of Michoacán. It's called Los Viejitos, which means the old ones. And Los Viejitos is a dance that they do once a year as a celebration to remember their older people, the ancestors. And it's a dance that's played with violin traditionally, and children perform it wearing masks of old people. And in a very endeared way, they make fun of old people. They come out with canes and the way they talk and the way they walk and the way they dance, you know. But it's all to show that we are going to grow out and be old, and we are all part of the cycle of life. So this is a song called Los Viejitos. Thank you. So anyway, in Mexico, we have a large variety of music. Pretty much every state in Mexico, and there's about 28 states, has different types of music, different types of rhythms, and it would take us all night to demonstrate all of them over here. So I'd now would like to talk about two other instruments that are very important in Latin American music. When the guitar was brought to the Andean countries of Peru, Bolivia, and Ecuador, it also stirred up a real fervor for people who love this string instrument. And in the Andes, which is the highest mountains in South America, they are a continuation of the Rockies in South America, the average altitude is 14,000 feet above sea level. 14 to 18,000 feet above sea level. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of people from Bolivia and Ecuador. They're very short. They got those huge torsos because they got to breathe, and little tiny strong legs because they're climbing the mountains up and down. That's where the llama comes from, the camel. Relative of the camel is an animal native to the Americas, by the way, who is their beast of burden, goes up and down the mountains because you have to have a lot of resistance to go up and down those mountains. They don't have enough wood to make a guitar. It's very arid right there. They grow potatoes primarily, and they have 270 different kinds of potatoes, and that's where the potato comes from South America, from Peru and Bolivia. And that's what saved Europe during the bubonic plague. It was the potato. The potato was able to, it was a crop that could be raised underground, so it didn't carry the germs and was able to save the people. But the potato comes from South America. They didn't have enough wood to make a guitar, but I'm gonna show you what they made. They created a little tiny guitar that was five strings after the lute, because they saw the lute first. And in the back of it, they put an armadillo, which is part of their staple diet. They raise armadillos. They have armadillo pens, and they make delicious armadillo soup. So to me, this is the ultimate recycling instrument, you know? You can raise your instrument, eat it, have fun with it, and then you make it sing. So this is an armadillo shell guitar. As you can see, I don't know if any of you can see, it has hair on it, because the species of armadillo from the South American Andes, so cold they need the hair for protection for the cold weather. And they only needed the wood, which had to be imported from the lowlands, from the jungle areas of Bolivia and Ecuador. They only needed the wood for the front and the neck. So this is called a charango. Can you say charango?
Charango.
This is an armadillo shell guitar from Bolivia. I'm having a hard time keeping it tuned because the weather here is very dry in Arizona where I've had it. And very dry in Bolivia too, very dry. And here the humidity is driving it crazy. It's different. It's tuned E, A, E, G, C. So it's a little bit different. So we're going to do a song from Bolivia. This one is called El Tinku, and it's sung in the language of Quechua, which is the language they speak in part of Ecuador and Bolivia.
Machai unai nanitai machapuyani lai. Sisi machai unai nanitai machapuyani lai. Machapuyani lai nanitai makawayan kitai. Machapuyani lai nanitai makawayan kitai. Sisi kusisi tu nanitai watu sikisi tu. Sisi kusisi tu nanitai watu sikisi tu. Watu siki situ nanitai, kesu si aiki situ. Watu siki situ nanitai, kesu si aiki situ. La 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 la.
To Bolivia to get the charango, we went to a place called Potosí, and it was unbelievable to us. It was just an ordinary day. It wasn't a day of celebration or festival or anything. We must have seen 200 or 300 people walking in the streets with charangos around their neck. Plucking.
Well, it's really amazing because they just. The life there is very slow, and then they have to sit around and wait hours for the bus or the truck to take them someplace. So they just have a charango as part of their attire, you know. They have a poncho and a charango, and then when they're just sitting there, they just start playing, and then there's groups of 2 or 3 people just playing around every corner of town. We're going to do another song from Bolivia. This one is called La Mujercita. And it's sung in Spanish and means the little woman. That's the charango, and there are other instruments in South America that are very, very interesting besides this one. In Mexico, they have a jarana, which is also made of an armadillo shell. It's a bigger shell, like a Texas armadillo. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of those. It's like no hair and a little bit bigger and has 8 strings, like a mandolin. In Brazil, we have a 4-string instrument called cavaquinho. In Cuba, they have a 6-string instrument, but 3 notes is three pairs of 2 notes called tres. Tres means 3 in Spanish, and that's what they use in a lot of their traditional song music. In Venezuela, they have the cuatro, which also is 4-string instrument. In Colombia, they have another one called tiple. The tiple has 12 strings. It's like a 12-string guitar. So there is a whole slew of instruments that have been inspired by the guitar in different shapes, different sizes, different number of strings, and utilized at different types of music. But to me, the most remarkable is still the armadillo shell. Now I'm going to talk about my favorite instrument that came from Europe. Around the 1700s, 1800s, it was brought to the Americas, and was able to make an impact, in particular, in 2 different countries. In Argentina, it gave birth to the tango, and I'm talking about the accordion.
Wow.
I have a very little accordion over here. It's a 48 bass. It's called a Pink 48 made by Honor. But the accordions are huge. I don't know if you've ever seen accordions before. I know somebody has. They have Lawrence Welk, that's right. They have either 120 and 240 bass. And they're just humongous, you know. Then they have also the bandolinos, which is also very big. So there is a whole family of instruments with the accordion. And in two countries, it was really influential. First of all, it was in Argentina, like I said, the tango was born from the accordion. And in northern part of Mexico, where they have norteño music, the conjunto music, is played with the button accordion. And the button accordion is diatonic, which means when you press the button and pull the folly out, it's one note. And you press the button and you pull the folly in, the same but is a different type of note. I tried playing that and drove me crazy. So I stuck to this little accordion. We're going to do a cumbia right now from Colombia. And cumbia is a very popular music in Latin America. It's a danceable type of music. A lot of people dance cumbia. And this one is called Boca Chica. Okay, now I'm going to demonstrate a song from Mexico. This is a corrido. A corrido is a polka style of music that was started with the accordion. All the polkas were brought by the Polish people around the 1700s to Mexico and was quickly taken over. In the corrido is a song that tells a story. It's a way of doing oral history. If something tragic happened, they'll write a corrido about it. If something funny happened, there'll be another corrido to tell that story. This one is called, which one are we going to do?
Mecaí.
This is called I Fell Off My Cloud.
Fiction.
I'm
decía nada, solamente pensé en la maldad. Me subí a la nube más alta y a tirarme a matar de verdad. Y olvidarme esa ingrata apertura que mi cara me supo dañar.
One thing about the corrido, it's always basically a polka, and usually done with accordion. Some groups do it now with a synthesizer. But corridos are written right when things happen. About a year ago, Cesar Chavez, the leader of the farm workers movement, as soon as he died, I thought humanly possible, on the radio I was already hearing corridos about the life of Cesar Chavez. And I was hearing them on the radio. Friends were sending me their versions that they had already recorded, some written before he died and some written immediately after he died. A very tragic thing happened a year ago, too, was when Selena was killed. You might have heard about her. She was a young star. 3 months ago?
Yeah, she died in April.
Oh, this was 3 months ago. Anyway, the same thing happened. As soon as Selena died, it just seemed like a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden the radio was full of tributes about her life, about the person that she was, and how much people loved her. And these things were on the radio in no time. And those are, I'm sure, just a fraction of the corridos that people like you or people like me and popular musicians as well, well-known musicians, will sit down and write a corrido. And there's artists, musicians, who dedicate their whole lives to singing nothing but corridos. So for us, it's one of the most popular art forms.
All right, to continue on our origins of Latin American folk music, we cannot ignore all the contributions made by the African in our music. Right now, I've only talked about the Native Americans and the contribution of Europeans coming to this continent, but our music is made of the combination of three races and three very strong musical influences. The African, of course, brought their drums, and with their drums, lots of different rhythms. I'm originally born and raised in Brazil, South America, and Brazil is the land of not only soccer and coffee, but samba, and samba is an African influence. So we're going to do a few African rhythms right now. Do you want to start with a wawanko first? Or do you want to start with a samba? Yeah. We're going to start with an Afro-Caribbean rhythm called wawanko. Can you say wawanko?
Wawanko.
Yeah, wawanko is a real basic sound. Wawanko. Come on, say it again.
Wawanko.
Yeah, makes you feel like dancing, right? So the wawanko has a syncopated beat and also...
We're improvising it.
We're improvising because we don't have enough instruments over here. Oh, can you hear me back there?
If you want it, though, I can turn it on.
No.
That's fine.
Is that fine?
That's fine.
Okay, we're going to do a nawanko. And nawanko is a 3-2 rhythm, which means if you're looking at two measures of music, the first measure has a 3-beat, the second measure has 2-beat. So I don't know if you guys can do that with me. This is called a clave. But this is what, can you clap? Let's try to clap first so maybe you can come up. It's gonna go 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Do we need to go faster? All right, this is wawanko.
Thank you.
All right, so now we will learn how to play the clave, which is the basic beat for most Latin rhythms, Caribbean rhythms. Salsa, cumbias, and guaguancó all have this syncopation in it. The drums have a very strong ceremonial purposes, like I told you before in the beginning, because of the heartbeat, and all, every culture in the world has a drum. So when the Africans were slaves, were brought to this continent, the first thing that happened was their drums were taken away from them, and they were not allowed to use the drums for hundreds of years in this continent. In Brazil, in South America, the Portuguese landowners didn't really care if they used the drums. So that's how come all the samba music was developed, because they had access to their drums and they were able to mix and mingle with the native peoples and create different kind of rhythms. Here in North America, it took a while to create the blues or jazz. In the absence of the drums, they were able to play other instruments and create that. I'm going to play a song right now from Brazil, just to give you a taste. Brazil created its own sound and became very famous around the 1960s with Bossa Nova. I don't know how many of you remember that. And Bossa Nova is still the trademark of Brazil. You hear in every elevator, in every shopping mall in America that has canned music, they will play Bossa Nova for you, because it's very soothing and very special. So Zarco's trying to get a drum. So let's, I'm gonna do this one then. Okay, I'm gonna do a kind of famous bossa nova. This is called Corcovado. In English, the translation was Quiet Night of Quiet Stars. Tinha violão, este amor com uma canção pra fazer feliz a quem se ama. Muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra te amar. Da janela vê-se o Corcovado e o Redentor. Que lindo, quero a vida sempre assim, com você junto de mim até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente deste mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor. Para o papara papapá parararara, papararara. Para o papara papá, para papapá papá, para papara papararara. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você junto de mim até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente deste mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor. One
interesting note I wanted to make is that, especially about the drum and how important it is, we all know in this country, or maybe you don't know, maybe you don't realize it, but when the slaves were brought over to the Americas, they were forbidden to play their drums. And that was heartbreaking, of course, to the African people. The drum was an integral part of their life, of their expression, the expression of their humanness, of their roots, of their soul. And fortunately, that gave birth to the blues in this country.
And to
gospel music, to the spirituals, the lack of the drum. Well, in Brazil, the drums were not forbidden. The Africans were allowed to have their drums certain parts of the year. And that gave birth to samba, gave birth to salsa, where those rhythms were never lost. They were brought over from Africa, and they continued to thrive throughout the centuries. And to this day, artists who dedicate themselves to the congas, they do it. They do so religiously because it's almost unheard of for a Latin drummer or percussionist to just play for the sake of playing. It's always connected to the spiritual realm, and any serious percussionist is aware of that. We're going to try to do a little song for you here, and to say goodbye, and it's the end of the workshop, right?
Yeah.
Just give you a little taste of some service.
Some of us thought Brazilians doing during Carnival in Brazil, and the instruments that we're playing, just one of us, there'll be 50 to 100 people marching down the street playing this instrument. Another 100 people playing shaker or hand instruments and percussion. There's over 15 different types of percussion that makes up a samba band. So here we're going to do, which one?
La Mascarada.
La Mascarada. Do you guys have any questions? Anything you want to know more? You want us to explain? Please.
Yeah, you mentioned salsa. What is that a specific rhythm or a specific type of music, or is it kind of a general term?
Well, it's a general term, but it's definitely a style. The salsa came out of the music.
I was going to tell him, salsa is what we eat. What are you talking about? No, we eat salsa, we dance salsa, we play salsa, yes.
Yeah, well, salsa, it means a lot of different things to different people. Basically, the rumba and the cha-cha and the mambo came out of Cuba. And then the Cubans and the Puerto Ricans in New York and Miami interpreted it in a more contemporary style that today is called salsa. But it's dance music. And with the band that we have, we do a lot of salsa. And the people who come to hear the music are the dancers, usually from those countries, who are very discriminating. And they want their salsa played a certain way. Puts a lot of pressure on musicians to interpret the music the way each country wants to hear it. Santo Domingo has merengue, and merengue has to be played just right, or they'll know about it. We'll know about it. Or
they can't dance.
The Cubans have to have their salsa a certain way. So they're really particular about their music, especially salsa today. It's such a popular art form and developing all the time. And some of the finest jazz musicians are very involved in the development of salsa.
Yes.
Tell me again about the origins of the accordion. You probably said
it. Well, it comes from Europe, from the Bavarian countries, from northern Italy and southern Germany and Poland. Those are the people. The accordion is. Well, first of all, they invented the piano, like the clavichord, the harpsichord, and the piano. And then the accordion is a portable piano. That's how it came, the progression. And then they created the polkas in those countries, and then they brought it to the American continent.
It must have changed a lot by the time it got to Europe over to South America. Because what you're playing is not what you think of when I think of accordion.
Oh yeah, this is a small accordion. This has only 48 bass. The real accordion has 120 or 240 bass. I'd have to sit down. I'm a very small woman. I couldn't play. I have one 120 bass, and I can only sit down with it and get tired. Very.
We'll be having a concert, right? Pretty soon here with some big accordions.
No. Oh, this gentleman is an accordion player, and I was very happy to meet him because there aren't very many accordion players. We are a dying breed, I guess. Yes. Well, music was primarily a male thing in Latin America. You know, I was taught how to play the piano. Nobody wanted me to play the accordion. They thought it was very unbecoming for a woman to be dancing and holding the accordion. And but it's becoming more open now. There are a lot. I mean, we still come from the picture that women are just pretty enough to sing. That's it. And dance. When I say to people, usually, I'm a musician. Oh, what do you sing? And I go, well, you want to know how many instruments I play? I mean, does that matter? You know, but still, music is mostly a man thing, unfortunately. I hope it changes.
So were you encouraged by your immediate family?
I was given piano lessons, you know, by my family, but not guitar or accordion. I picked them up later, you know, through college and through later years, and then I really, you know, went all out, getting all these other weird instruments they didn't encourage me to get. And then percussion, is just totally unheard of, a woman playing percussion. And I love percussion, I just really get into it. So I finally got into it later.
In Latin music, women have definitely broken in, made a big impact all over Latin America, in Brazil and the United States. Sheila is one of the top recording studio musicians in the world today.
And she's a percussionist.
And she's a percussionist and a drummer. And there's a lot of cases. There's salsa bands that are all women. I mean, there's salsa bands now that are all Japanese.
Yeah.
That shows you the influence it's having around the world.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Yeah. In the Andes, don't they also play panpipes?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And that evolved there.
Yeah, that's their native instrument. It's not brought.
It probably evolved at the same time, too, in different parts of the world. In Africa and in Europe has their panpipes, too. I don't think it's particular to the Andes, because I've seen them in other countries. I think that happens in every culture. Different instruments develop from the availability of materials that are there, and people, you know, through the collective subconscious, create similar instruments.
I mean, if you have bamboo, it's just so elementary basic to put the bamboos together, different pieces to create different notes. That's how they have. He's talking about the pan pipes. They're made out of different bamboo sizes, and the people in South America play that. They usually play it in a duet kind of situation, because you can only have a few notes in one side and the other person has the other notes. So you're going back and forth through the melody like that. It's kind of hard to play. Plus, you have to have this humongous kind of lungs to be able to blow into it, because there's no mouthpiece, you just have to blow it. So yeah, we didn't bring our sikus or zampoñas, but you do. Any other questions? I wanted to tell you that we have tapes available at the bookstore this year. It's tapes of our band Zoom Zoom Zoom. It's a large band. We have drummers and percussionists and trumpets and flutes in it. But it has a variety of music. It has music of Brazil, kind of like all original music that was written by Zarco, but has a little bit of jazz, a little bit of salsa. There's one corrido in it, one reggae, one Brazilian music. So there's a variety. So if you're interested, just look up in the bookstore. We have tapes available. Any other questions? Comments or anything else? Well, thank you for coming, and enjoy dinner. Thank you.